Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Oh, look at this run! What a run! Marshawn Lynch!
Go ahead and throw back this Caesar salad with these croutons and all this sh**.
Still on his feet! Has blockers now!
Go ahead, take me a nice fat sh**, get my stomach all right and everything.
He's dancing his way for the touchdown!
That's when it just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't gonna be able to take that over and 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 over again.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, man. Hope you're having a great day. Mike's day didn't start out that well. Literally, he was like, yo, I got to go in the studio. I said, okay, man, I'll talk to you when you get there. And then I get that call. I'm in traffic. I'm like, oh, man, okay. He says, I'm going to make it, though, right as the show gets started. Then I get the call right as the show starts. I'm not going to make it. Then I get the call in the first break. Damn it, there's traffic and they're detouring me. So, Mike, how do you feel now 5 hours later?
Well, again, I had a couple of brewskis. I'm feeling a whole lot better now. I got the dog hanging out, you know. When you got that love, man, that unconditional love from your dog. You come home, you're having a bad day. Carl's right. I leave. It takes me about a half hour to get to work from where I live. And it was dead stop. All four lanes on 85. A sign fell down and was drooping off the sign thing that holds it, and then a truck smashed it. Why it would shut down all four lanes? I guess they're heavy. I guess you need something to lift it and get it off the highway. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, Carl, but you couldn't get there from here. I got these guys on Twitch. I got to teach Mike the back ways. There was no back way.
Yeah.
29. I texted Carl. It says, if I take the alternate route, I will be at work at 4:30 today. So I just got, I made the UE. I went back to the house, and the internet, thanks to New Link, I'm always crapping on, has held on for the show. Knock wood. So yeah, but Carl, there's nothing that Carl gets a bigger kick out of than angry me, because I cuss, and the New Yorker comes out in me. I lose it, because it's the worst when you can't go anywhere. It's the most, you know, it's a helpless feeling.
It is, man. And by the way, we live in Atlanta. This is one of my rants earlier. Mm. Everybody knows the back way. The back way turns into the back way
was right. Just like when 75, use Cobb Parkway. Yeah, because, you know, Cobb Parkway, it's a breeze, you know. No, I mean, there's literally two ways to get anywhere in town. And if there's a jam up, the other way gets, ergo, crowded. I was thinking about this. I listened to your rant because I was stuck in traffic as I was trying to get back to the house. You know what we need, and it would cost about a gazillion dollars, is, you know, Underground Atlanta?
Yeah.
The idea was Underground Atlanta because the roads went over the top when they put the connector in.
Sure.
We need to have like our own version of Boston's Big Dig, where you could have express lanes for 85 and 75.
Go underneath the city.
Go underneath.
Yeah. Dude.
And that would imagine what that would alleviate.
No, I mean, man, it would be incredible. Now, I'll say this, because you can't dig like that in Texas. What they do is they put overpass upon overpass. So right. You have double highways in some of the big cities like Dallas and Houston, where you have traffic going one way, but it's two sets of elevated highways, Mike, because they can't dig. Your idea, I love. I don't know how long did it take to do the Boston.
Boston, years? It seemed. It seemed like it did take forever, and there was delays and all sorts of problems. But it works, man. Yeah, and again, it's that ship has sailed. And you talked about it earlier. We're a big city. We're a major city, and you know, there's always pushback from the outer environs about mass transit. You know why, brother? Because there's no express trains. If you could get somebody to hop on a train in Kennesaw or hop on a train
in town in 10, 15 minutes?
Well, about it would probably take 25, but I mean still, but 25 minutes on a train without stopping at all the stops on MARTA, but we don't do that. So, I mean, we have this conversation about once a year when one of us gets jammed up in a traffic jam. It's just we missed opportunities. There were crossroads moments in greater metropolitan Atlanta, some before I got here around the Olympics, and then the most while I've been here, where they missed the opportunities to make the infrastructure right. Now we're screwed.
404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'm just looking at some of the stuff coming in from guys. And by the way, I got to give a big shout out to Bridge. Bridge and his family, if you live in this area, they run one of my favorite bottle shops. It's Sprayberry Bottle Shop, and they carry Hey Man Ale. I retweeted it. Because every now and then I catch people in there and they're like, dude, you shop here? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Bridge is carrying our watermelon lime now. And he sent out a nice picture and a nice post. So big shout out to Sprayberry because they have always loved us and loved on us since we dropped Hey Man Ale. So just a big shout out, man. All the places you can find watermelon lime, go online. If not, if you go to your local package store and they don't carry it, make sure you ask them to get it, and they will be able to get it. And also, thanks to Georgia Crown. Hey, right, man, on. It's Dukes and Bell. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. And go vote on our poll as well. You concerned about the Braves pitching tonight against the Marlins? Oh. More on that coming up as part of our top three.
And don't forget Twitch, guys. If you're hanging at the house, you can watch us. It is going through. The internet signal is working for the most part. Buffering. But you can watch and listen to Dukes and Bell on Twitch as well. Check it out.
Let's get to the top three. So we were there today. Not us. The Falcons. Come on. I mean, what did you think I was talking about? The right. Falcons were there today.
But not the Falcons brass.
No. I mean, Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith have already been there, done that. They saw the first pro day back on March 30th. So, you know, you talk about today with David Brock, the assistant director of college scouting, and Dwayne Jones, and I think Charles London, who's the wide receivers coach, they all attended the second pro day today. Mike's right. We had a presence. Now, I think the bigger presence today was Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, right, because they now pick in front of us. If they had any doubts or reservations about what Justin is or, you know, what he looked like in person, well, all that's been, you know, squashed now. And now they go back to the farm in San Francisco, and they are going to make their decision. Some people think they've already made their decision and that it's going to be Mac Jones. I will say this again to Falcon fans. If that turns out to be the case, and you're telling me it's going to be Lawrence, Wilson, and then Mac Jones, and that means that this guy, I'm talking about Justin Fields, falls to us at four, Mike, how can we pass it up?
Well,
how?
I mean, he's again, it's the great debate. If you feel that what you got right there is your next Patrick Mahomes or your next Russell Wilson, because, again, all what I'm looking for here is in the next 10 years that he gets me to the promised land and we have the Lombardi Trophy, then you got to take him. But if there's any doubt or you're not 100% on that, then you got options. Yeah. And there's other guys that may want to call on you. And I there's three things. I know guys are mad at me because I'm being like, they think I'm being a wussy on this. I keep, you know, pick one. No, I mean, as I said, all outcomes could work out here. Nobody has a crystal ball. Trevor Lawrence might be a freaking disaster. Yeah. Nobody ever talks about that. Oh, no, he's too. We don't know that. We don't know. Jacksonville is a disaster. He's going to the team. The head coach has never been a coach in the NFL. I don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to be. All I know is Justin Fields outplayed him a year ago, or this year, I should say, and Burrow outplayed him 2 years ago. But nobody ever talks about that with Trevor Lawrence.
I think I just saw our future quarterback.
Oh, man. So, I mean, look, you and I don't get the Zach Wilson thing on. We talked earlier. Who was we had on from Ohio State? We had Josh on, the former linebacker. And he was agreeing with us on Zach Wilson. Trey Lance. A lot of excitement there because, again, you don't even know what you've got. You know, if he's coached up right and he develops, you might have the next big thing there because he's got so much upside.
Yeah.
Or just trade back and load up your team.
I was just watching Ohio State release some video of, and I tweeted one today as well, but they released some video of Justin throwing today. And first of all, footwork looks good. You can tell he's been working. But then he does a little juke move in the pocket, just kind of, you know, escape pressure, okay, and you do these quarterback drills. But then he, boom, throws the ball 70 yards, Mike. Literally, he releases it, and you go, who's he throwing it to? You don't see anybody in the shot. Right. And then all of a sudden, here comes this guy out of nowhere. Whoop! And he catches the ball, and you go, oh, I know what you're thinking. Dude, you're getting excited about him being out there throwing against nobody. But he did it against real competition, too.
Again, and he took hits. I mean, how many guys out there, you know, I said this earlier, both the commonality is Clemson. Clemson nearly knocked Joe Burrow out in the first half on a hit on the sideline. He comes back, the rest is history. Skalski, the kid from right down the street, Northgate High School, he blasts him. We didn't think he was coming back in the game.
No way.
You know, and again, the Alabama, look, they just got outmanned. But, I mean, if anything you want to look at today with him throwing on field turf indoors, it's trumped by what I saw in the semifinal game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Braves, Marlins tonight. Charlie Morton on the hill. As we said earlier, Ronald Acuna leading things off. He's just on fire, but we need help. Two through six, and I don't care who's out there, but tonight it's Freddie, Ozuna, Darno. Albies hitting fifth, Dansby hitting sixth. Austin Riley is playing third, hitting seventh, and Ender Inciarte. Why is Ender in the game? Because Pache is now on the 10-day DL, mm-hmm. or IL, should I say, injured list. So he's going to be out there, Mike, and we're going to – hopefully we need his bat to come alive too. I mean, it's more than just playing defense for Ender.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, you know, by the way, I don't want to be like – and I apologize if we came off as a negative Nelly on him, but, I mean, you can't even lay down a bunt. I mean, I know you can't hit, but can you lay down a bunt at least two nights ago? But Ender's out there, and it's just, you know, it's just, as you said earlier, it's just the way things have seemed to go in these first 11 games. It's compounded by the fact that Duvall is, like, you know, knocking in everybody for the Marlins right now, and that's a guy that everyone looks at that said, well, for another million, we could have had him. So it's tough right now. I mean, this division, apparently, I guess maybe Braves fans are realizing now we're not going to be handed the division this year. We may have to earn it.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm laughing at Matthew. Matthew's just sent me a tweet. He goes, come on, man. We can't keep hyping him up. We got to get a chance to have him. I mean, he's not going to be there at 3. Matthew, do you think all these teams don't already know what I'm telling you guys?
And by the way, you're telling me you meet Carl and I. Now, granted, we got 150,000 people listening now, but you're saying that Carl and I, we're going to be the arbiters of the Justin Fields, and this is what Shanahan and John Lynch are going to base it on? Wow. The Dukes and Bell bounce extends all the way to San Francisco, right?
He's like, do not continue to hype him up. I want to have a shot at getting Justin Fields.
Hey, and by the way, I might have to make a side bet. Would you really think the 49ers are going to draft Mac Jones?
Ask me next week. Seriously.
All right.
Ask me next week. And we might have to make a side bet on it. Seriously, right. Because I think today, and I know some people don't believe this, but you don't make a trip around halfway around the country and don't think that this is not important. I think today was important for the continued evaluation of what they want to do. Mike, they may be sold on Mac right now. Got on the plane today, was thoroughly impressed, had their one-on-one interviews. Allegedly, okay, I don't know, I haven't seen the full workout, but allegedly from sources, he was going to run some plays that Kyle Shanahan runs in his offense.
Ooh.
Okay? Uh-oh. Just to give them a look at some of the things. So I don't know how much that swayed him. So let's keep that, put a check by that, and let's come back to that next week, and I'll be willing to make a bet with you. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk about Atlanta United because we really haven't had a chance to touch base on that for a couple of hours. Big win last night, Mike, and now Atlanta United advances to the quarterfinals.
Man, so many things that are really excited. And again, there's a lot of unknowns, Carl, because I think, you know, even to the hardcore Five Stripes fan, you're trying to acquaint yourself with all of these guys. But, man, Barco is – remember we've been waiting for Barco to really click? And how many times you and I have said, when's Barco? Barco can be the guy to really stir the drink. And I think now, first off, he's older. And again, all the circumstances about being an 18-year-old coming to America for the first time. But Marcelino Moreno, who had the red card against Mexico in Mexico City against Team America last year. Not Team America World Police, but Club America. And so he's back in there. Barco is in there. Joseph still looks a little tentative going for the balls in the air. Maybe not 100% on that knee. That's what I got from watching the match at Fifth Third. But the playmaking. They had some good crosses the first half, and then Hintze makes adjustments, and then we get the goal. I just love what we're doing. Now, again, granted, we did not get Alajuelense's best because they had some guys that were caught in some flaps over COVID and customs and some teamwork that didn't get done. But guess what, Carl? We just advanced in a big, prestigious competition, and we're just starting to see how much excitement we're going to generate. I think style brings people to United. A few years ago, we lost that, unfortunately, for the most part, with Frank DeBoer. Last year was a disaster. I think people are going to fall in love all over again with United with the style of play.
I do too, man. With that said, they'll play sometime between the 17th and the 28th. The opponent we're waiting to find out, but I'm just happy that we're advancing because I think we're showing, from a stylistic standpoint, glimpses of what we saw before with Atlanta United.
And Rocco Rios Novo, I love
Rocco!
The kid. He had to make a sort of a kick save at close range, and just, you know, again, they were in a no-win situation, the team from Costa Rica. But again, we got the win, and I can't wait to see when we're 100% healthy and we maybe finally figured out who's going to replace Nagby and who's going to be able to get the ball from the back to the front.
All right, guys, we're coming back. Things are changing in college sports. We know that. Likeness, image, guys getting paid. We're going to see where this all goes. There's still a lot to be worked out. But the NCAA is changing a big rule. We've been saying it for years. Why haven't they done it? Finally, they're going to do it. I think it becomes official on Thursday. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk more about what's going on with our Atlanta Braves as they get ready for action tonight. Max Fried, again, if you're just joining us, is on the 10-day IL, strained right hamstring, so he's only supposed to miss one start. Let's hope that's the case, because again, we still are without Soroka. So this is when you have other guys like Ian Anderson and Bryce Wilson and all these guys we talked about step up, and that's why we have some depth at the starting pitching rotation, but they got to live up to it. All right, it's Dukes and Bell, 404-741-0929. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, and make sure you follow us on the gram as well. Lots of content there, and subscribe at Twitch to get that exclusive content at ATL929 The Game.
Some interesting news on the Hawks, guys, as we play the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow night. Giannis is out in the game. They are currently playing right now against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are up by 25 going into the fourth quarter, but Giannis out with left knee soreness and PJ Tucker out with a calf, so it'll be interesting. To see who they play and who they sit tomorrow.
Interesting. Good. That's some intel right there from Chris, the engineer. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, man. And you know,
and Coach Bud, by the way, Steve, you missed it. Steve Holman, Carl, sorry, I apologize for cutting you off. Yeah. Steve Holman told us that, you know, I noticed every time that Coach Bud is playing somebody that the Hawks need to have lose, he sits his people. So apparently Coach Bud has got a vendetta against the Hawks. So we'd have a chance to pile on if we have those. If, again, you're losing some of your biggest pieces against Milwaukee.
All right, good stuff, Chris. Appreciate you jumping on right there. Top 3 at 6 brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company's Hoptropolis IPA. It's an American IPA with tropical fruit, floral, citrus, and stone hop aromatics. Hoptropolis IPA, tropical allure, juicy hop bliss. Most important story coming up.
The most important story of the day.
Well, we got a couple of them, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Thanks for listening. And one of the stories we've been following is this NCAA story. We're also going to tell you who the hell challenges Aaron Donald. And should young professional athletes know their history? We'll get to that. The one-time transfer rule, Mike, for athletes in all sports has been approved by the NCAA's Division Council. So athletes in all sports, not just football, okay, will be able to transfer once and immediately be eligible. Now, I want you to think about this, because there have been situations over the last umpteen years where guys and kids have transferred, not been able to play immediately, Mike, have to sit out that year. Right. It just sucks, you know, and I believe this is what it's always should have been. But coaches were so afraid, oh, it's going to become the Wild Wild West. You're going to have kids recruiting. So you get one time to do it. And the reason why I think one is perfect is because you can go to a university, you buy in, and guess what? Coach gets fired.
Right.
And then you're stuck. And maybe it's not what you thought it was going to be. You should be allowed to leave. Or, Mike, maybe it's not the place for you, and you realize, I'd like to go play somewhere else. You should be given one time to leave. So I love the fact that they're changing this rule.
Right, and you just laid it out there. I mean, that's the crux of it. You know, you were sold a bill of goods. The coaches can leave. There's no recriminations for them. I mean, you know, there's buyouts and all this. So it's one of those things that some folks will say, my God, it'll turn the world of sport. The same guys will be the same 20. Everything that comes on down the road with the NCAA, same guys. Georgia will be the same. Bama will be the same. Clemson will be the same. You know when that changes? When Dabo or Nick Saban shuffle off, right?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, it's all the same. So I've got no problem with it. I think you're starting to see the kids, you know, getting some power that they deserve. And look, yes, in some cases, we're talking 18 and 19-year-olds, and maybe they're a little immature, and the coach was mean to me, or I was told I'd get the start. Whatever the circumstances are, you got a chance to go do it. And if teams think you're a malcontent, that'll come up in the combine if you're one of those like rare 1% that get a chance to go to the next level.
So that is news. It won't become official, they're saying, until Thursday. So that's a story that we're certainly following. We were having some fun today, and I just want to hit on this again for guys who missed it because it was a fun, interesting conversation. If you have kids, you know, whether you have young kids, teenagers, tweeners, it doesn't matter. But a guy that we're familiar with here in Atlanta, Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, he played at Georgia. He was the number one overall pick by the T-Wolves. He was asked, and I want you to play this for us. He was asked about the new ownership that includes Alex Rodriguez, all right, as part of the new ownership group. And listen to what he said about this.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player, Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
So, a pretty candid answer. People were shocked. By the way, A-Rod did send a post on Instagram to him saying, hey, Anthony, I'm Alex. And Anthony sent a post back like, what's up, my dude? Laughing emoji. Because, again, to own this, Mike, and go, he doesn't know who A-Rod is. But, guys, he's 19. You know, he was 7 or 8? Maybe right. Not even that. When A-Rod was maybe in his prime and playing and, hey, you know, was more relevant than he is now, and I'm not saying he's not because he's still doing the broadcast, but as a player. And Mike and I just got into this whole conversation about, do kids these days pay attention to sports as much as we used to?
No, and look, I'm 52 years old. I wish I wasn't aware of A-Rod, to be quite honest with you, especially his broadcast work. But, yeah, I mean, guys are saying the kids just don't watch sports the way we do. And, again, I said to Carl, like, and we had Ant-Man on before, his one-year
kid.
Not a bad kid. I mean, he didn't know who A-Rod was. Look, I mean, if I was on an AAU traveling team and if I'm not practicing basketball, I'm on my Game Boy or I'm playing Fortnite. I mean, I don't know what these kids are into, Carl. But it is interesting, though, because we loved, most of us listening, loved all four or more sports growing up as a kid and knew all the stories of all the sports. But A-Rod, for whatever reason, and Carl brought up a great point. What if the interviewer had followed up with, well, you know who J-Lo is?
Yeah.
That's her boyfriend. Maybe that would have clicked. I don't know.
But
it is funny, though, because it seems like it took on a larger meaning that it was some kind of like, oh, these kids, I know nobody's got any awareness of anything in the world. Again, I don't think it's a bad thing to be unaware of A-Rod.
Yeah, and it's an example, right? Because I think, you know, if he didn't follow baseball, here's my question. You know who Ken Griffey Jr. is?
Right.
You know, if he was like, nope, I don't know anything. I didn't watch baseball. Well, okay, great. Then that answers it. But the whole thing is pop culture and that crossover appeal, guys that transcend their sport, whether you liked A-Rod or not, okay? When he got $250 million, people lost their minds, okay? I talked about it on my show at the time for 3 months. Can't believe the Rangers are doing this. This is stupid. And people said, oh, what sport's coming to? This is dumb. It was the biggest thing. But, again, I do think there's an age factor here where we're talking about a 19-year-old kid. Here's the other thing I said earlier, and we'd love to hear your thoughts, by the way. Are your kids paying attention to sports like you used to?
For the record, have you ever used steroids, human growth hormone, or any other performance-enhancing substance?
No.
You're such a fraud. The guy is such a phony. I cannot stand that guy.
That was a blatant lie.
Oh, please. But by the way, real quick, just because we talked about Pete Rose earlier today in the Hall of Fame, he turns 80. think it was either Tim Kirkchen or Buster. I remember reading articles. It's like, oh, it's so terrible that the greatest player of his generation is languishing in Texas. It's great that he could go to New York. Like, oh, give me a break. He chose to go to – if he wanted to be in the playoffs, he should not have gone to Texas back then, remember?
No, they were terrible. They paid him all the loot. They had no money to go get anybody else. But, yeah, and then obviously the Yankees came and got him, if you guys are not familiar with the story. And he ultimately helps, you know, they win. But – he was a part of the Yankees. He wasn't the Yankees. And when he went to the Rangers, they wanted him to be the Rangers, and that was a big part of it. All right, real quick, I was just saying this, and I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on it. I'm holding up my phone again. This is the difference. Anthony Edwards grew up in a cell phone generation. Your kids are, and their kids, it'll be even better technology. We didn't have this. I didn't have this. So if you miss games, if you liked players and you wanted to watch them, you had to watch them. I didn't have the opportunity to on-demand a game 3 days after it happened to see what happened, or the highlight packages were not what they are now, Mike. You didn't have all this internet access that we do now. And I really just think kids now, man, they have so much more going on. I just don't think they're paying as much attention to sports, period.
Yeah, and, but then again, we talked about, I said it earlier, in the time it took me to watch a second half of soccer and an entire basketball game, the Braves were in the seventh inning. So baseball.
So you think it's a baseball thing?
I think there's a major disconnect with the generations with baseball because the game is so uncompelling at times and so boring and it doesn't move, you know. And I know some guys out there, soccer is like to some people, it's like, you know, wait, it's like, you know, like take a sip of hemlock. Ugh, soccer. Yeah. Soccer, at least, it's, say what you want. I like Formula One. It's over in 2 hours. You know, soccer is over in 2.5 hours. Yeah, but no, NASCAR still takes NASCAR 4 hours. But Formula One, Carl, their formula is to be a race is 1 hour and 50 minutes to get into a 2 hour window. That's what I'm not saying that you could do that with baseball. If you're there and you want to get your money's worth and it goes 9 innings and takes 5 hours, okay. But I just, for the younger audience, baseball missed the point on marketing to inner city. That's why we were talking. What percentage of minor of African Americans play baseball? 9%, 10% now?
Yeah, it's somewhere. I think it was single digits for the last couple of years.
Baseball is Latin American and white suburbanites. You know, for the that's got to change. I think to a degree.
Mike,
you know?
I'll raise you this. Today, the Atlantic League announced they're moving the mounds back a foot starting next season. Does that help?
Well, I mean, they are. I did notice in the last few Braves games, the umps are starting to call the higher strike, and hitters have to adjust. But still, that's incremental movement. There's a lot of ways you can speed the game up. But anyway, getting back to the initial point, I just don't think kids. I think kids know what they know, and I think I said it earlier. An example: he's a grown man, Bryson DeChambeau. He's so aloof and he's so self-centered and so concerned with his own little world. He has no idea what a jackass he looks like sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah, these guys are so locked in themselves.
Okay, so is this generation that, is that what you're saying that this generation is? And I'm talking about
young
professional athletes.
Not all.
Because again, if you ask an average guy, average Joe on the street, right? If we were down at the studio and we went down on Peachtree, and I always talk about this, and I said, "Hey, do you know who blank is?" My guess is most people who are somewhat newsworthy. You don't have to be a news junkie. Just somewhat. You probably go, A-Rod, man, that name sounds familiar. So, but when you have a young professional athlete who doesn't know the stars that came before him, that's
I don't know. I mean, look, Kyrie Irving thinks the world is flat, and other guys don't know what happened with dinosaurs. I mean, I don't want to get on
a
rant.
That's a lot of self-centeredness, right?
Or bad education.
Either
or some teachers who did a really piss poor job, whatever they were doing. I don't know.
He was at Duke for a semester, Mike.
Ask Kenny Anderson where the library is at Georgia Tech.
But yeah, man. I mean, I just think and I appreciate all the input too. I believe that they're just more consumed with more stuff, and unlike us, okay. And I'm saying if you're 40 or older. Mm-hmm. We were consumed with the games and watching the stars and seeing what happened. They don't have to do that now. They just don't. And I think so I'm not mad at Anthony Edwards. I just found it fascinating that he was like, who? This dude's about to buy your team. He's one of the best players in baseball. You don't know who he is? Interesting.
Right. I get it. And I said to Carl, we always joke around about it. You know, back in my day, we had the TV stopped at 13 and you had to read the newspaper to figure out who the pitchers are going to be. It's a different time. You're right, though. Kids are bombarded with stuff. There's so many more things they're doing. You know, believe me, Carl, when I was a kid, when I would fly down to Florida to see my Nana, I had my dad's little briefcase. So I looked like I was like Michael J. Fox when he, you know, I'm like Alex Keaton. I'd have a cracked in a Mad magazine and a Coleco Pocket football. Yes, I would have killed for a Game Boy. I would have killed to have a phone that I could do all this stuff on. It's just a different time, man.
Okay. Well, I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
But again, they needed a follow-up. Do you know who J-Lo is? If you didn't know who J-Lo, I said, wow, then this guy really is dialed into only his sport.
That's the thing. And not only that, other contemporary stars that might be compared to A-Rod, if you just went down the list. I mean, that might be a fun game that someone's going to come up with professional athletes. Because, again, I will never say dumb jocks because I lived it. I know that that's not the case. There are a lot of these guys that are smart. That's a perception. But when you don't know certain things, it comes off that way. And that's what some people go, well, what? He should know that. It's not that big of a deal. I was just more surprised about it. All right, guys, coming up, we got our game winner. But before we get to that, I do want to remind you, Hawks Unity Night tomorrow. And it's another chance for you to go check out the Hawks. Go to hawks.com/tickets to learn more about Unity Night. They take on Milwaukee, again, honoring the life and legacy of Dr. King with this season's MLK Nike City Edition uniforms and the matching court at State Farm Arena. And you can always listen right here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for every play of the game. All right, man, let's get to tonight's game winner.
All right, man, what was your favorite sport when you were a kid? How's that? You like that?
It's funny, isn't it?
I mean, was your favorite sport? Or who were your favorite? Or maybe it was more than one. What were the sports you always loved, you followed religiously as a child? 404-741-0929. Your childhood, okay? That's what we're talking about.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, man. What was your favorite sport when you were a kid? I got to be honest, Carl. When I was a kid, it was baseball. I lived and died going to Shea Stadium with my dad. It was just, I mean, hockey was a close second, and then football, and then hoops, because I was short. I wasn't any good at hoops. My dad was tall, but I was short. What was your favorite sport of the big four? In order, where was it ranking when you were a kid?
So it was basketball. You know, I loved, I'm just thinking back now. You got me thinking about it. I loved basketball. Fell in love with football along the way, and then, you know, enjoyed it more. And now, you know, I would tell you it's probably my favorite sport, but basketball is a close second. And I think, Mike, part of it was the star power. You know, you were talking about Major League Baseball and how they don't market, and I've said this for years. It's been part of the issue with MLB. And what we mean by this, guys, is whether it's Bryce Harper or Ronald Acuna or Mike Trout, when do you see them on national ads? Campaigning for the game, campaigning for watch us, watch the stars. In the 80s and early 90s, the NBA was all about pitting stars against each other. Yes, it was Celtics, Lakers, but it was Magic Bird. It was Isaiah Magic.
Right.
It was Jordan versus Magic. And you had to watch it. So for me, I'm going to tell you it was basketball because I wanted to see those things and I fell in love with the players and then the teams, obviously. Right.
I mean, none of that trumps Bernard King playing with three broken fingers, but I feel you, man.
I love Bernard King, man. I do.
And by the way, Squid, we got to get Bernard. I know he's living around here somewhere. We got to get Bernard King on, man.
He's in the ATL?
I believe he is. Wow. I know he's a Tennessee guy, but hey, man, you're on the radio, brah. What was your number one sport when you were a kid?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So I grew up in Cincinnati. About 5-6 years old, I started going to Riverfront Stadium with my grandfather, sitting right behind home plate, 6 rows back in the greens. And by 7, knew every player of the starting 9 back-to-back world champs.
Right.
Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, the big red machine. Carl and I said it earlier. The good news is if you're a Braves fan, you got to see the Dodgers and the Reds. The bad news is they were in your division. But those guys are unbelievable. Carl, I could do it right now. Dan Dreesen, Joe Morgan, Dave Concepcion, Pete Rose, Johnny Bench behind the plate, Cesar Geronimo, Ken Griffey, who am I forgetting?
You're not. They were loaded.
I got most of them. Dusty. And then later Dusty with the Dodgers. Yeah, man, some good stuff right out there. Baseball, again, and the father and son or mother son connection there. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite sport when you were a kid?
Hey, man. I tell you, I grew up about 25 miles north of D.C., and my father and mother are both born and raised in North Carolina. And at an early age, the connection that I had with my dad was North Carolina basketball. And there were times that my father would get so wound up, he had to go out in the yard because he couldn't take it. And I would be in there with one hand in the air, the other in the other air, trying to be able to tune in Woody Durham out of the station in Richmond, because you couldn't get him on ESPN back then, because there was no ESPN in the early 80s, at least at my house. But, man, I'm telling you, and then the Redskins. I used to turn the TV off and turn on Frank Herzog, Sam Huff, Sonny Jurgensen. And those were who I listened to. But, you know, being in ACC, college basketball, the Big East, the ACC, college basketball was never better than it was in the 80s.
I'm with you, brother. And by the way, Sonny Jurgensen, Carl, that old broadcast with the the Washington football team.
Yeah.
I don't know how the play-by-play guy got a word in, because Sam Huff and Sonny would just step all over him left and right. It was gold, man. Absolute gold.
He brings up knowing the players, and we were talking about this with Ant-Man and Anthony Edwards, and that was the other thing, Mike. You just didn't follow the teams. You knew all the players. Mm-hmm. Like, your favorite teams, you knew all the players.
You knew the starting four pitchers in the big leagues. Yes. You knew the coaches. You knew, and again, in hockey, I would know, like, the first line for every team. You know, we played roller hockey, Carl, in the summer, and then ice hockey in the winter. We could find a pond that was frozen, man. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What was your favorite sport as a kid?
Hey, man. First of all, sipping on the nice Hey Man Ale right now.
Cheers,
enjoying
brother.
The cooler weather. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a 70s kid. Yes, I'm a 70s kid. Carl and Mike, so it was the NFL. Brent Musburger, Irv Cross, Phyllis George, seeing that, having to be there every Sunday. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. I'm a Cowboys fan, but having the University of Texas, Earl Campbell, all that, Fred Acre, football. And the reason why the kids don't really know, and you guys, we collected baseball cards, football cards.
Said that earlier, right. Remember, Carl, I said that was part of it. That's where you would learn. Remember, we even joke around about it now when we get a guy up from some of these players we picked up with the Falcons. If they had a football card, it would be a fold-out. They've been on so many teams.
It's true, man. It gave you more of an education to learn the team. I know it sounds corny now because somebody like listening, if you're of a certain age right now, you're going, dude, that's dumb. I go to the internet. There was no internet. So this is how you got accustomed to and became familiar with guys. And I'll say this, too. His comment about, you know, the football, Mike. The violence in the NFL, okay, in the 80s, even into the 90s, was incredible. I don't even know if you can find these videos anymore that they used to sell that literally they, you know, guys are getting blown up. Some guys into
the NFL's biggest hits. Right.
And, Mike, that is what got a lot of guys even more so into the NFL, because it was like, whoo, I can see that. I mean, I know that's one of the reasons why I started trending that way, even though I grew up, you know, to his point, we grew up watching the Cowboys, Roger Staubach, you know, all Tony Dorsett.
Right.
That you knew those guys. Well, but I think a big part of it, too, was the marketing of the NFL and those big hits.
But also, when I was a kid, my dad, you know, how many times I've had that conversation with you, my father and I, always about every team I rooted for sucked when I was a kid, and my dad said, they're going to get better. And when they get better, it's going to be twice as sweet. You know, if I had told you when I was a kid the Giants would have had four Super Bowls, no way.
Yeah.
When I'm watching Joe Pisarcik, you know what I mean? Yeah. No way. But I got to see Lawrence Taylor in his prime.
Mm.
It's still the greatest NFL player I've ever seen. But anyway, hey, man, what was your favorite sport when you were a kid?
Hey, man. Man, for me, it was always football, man. And my hero was Tony Dorsett. I loved when he walked out there and got in that eye. Had that little white towel hanging down in the front. Man, I mean, I idolized him. When I played tailback in high school and college, I used to get back there and dot that I, and I would be doing the rock, the dance that they call the rock, back and forth.
Right. We just said it because it was Dorsett's birthday a few weeks ago. And, dude, he was cool, man. And if you grew up with any other team, Carl, in that Eastern Division at the time, the Cowboys were so cool. I mean, Roger Staubach. I still like the Steelers better as America's team, but Staubach was so likable, and Dorsett was so freaking cool.
Well, see, and that's been the argument, right, about America's team. Mike, it's all about the marketing. The Cowboys right. got all the marketing. The Steelers were the blue-collar team right. that won all the time. The Cowboys were the glamorous team, and you either loved them or you hated them, which made that era so much fun, you know? Good stuff, man. Great calls.
Good job.
Appreciate you guys participating. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat.
Hey, thanks to all of our wonderful guests today. Steve Holman, bang, Hawks play-by-play guy right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You'll get a chance to hear him tomorrow as the Bucks and the Hawks will play. Chris, our producer back at the station, says Giannis won't be available tomorrow. It'll be interesting. Okay. And P.J. Tucker as well. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on the show. Connor Riley with Dog Nation as we count down to G-Day on Saturday. Joshua Perry, former Ohio State Buckeye, stopped by to talk about Justin Fields Pro Day. All these interviews online at Odyssey.com. Another big show coming your way tomorrow. Make sure you're here at 2 o'clock. Hey, Chris, great job as always. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, Aaron Donald making the headlines for apparently kicking the snot out of somebody in a club after hours Saturday night, Sunday morning in Pittsburgh. Well, take the time to get aside the lawyer's nonsense, because apparently the guy who got whooped on, Carl, was out with his lawyer, of all people, when this happened. I read the police report. I just tweeted it out. The alleged victim says, yeah, I may have thrown a champagne bottle, but I don't think I hit anyone. Dude, you probably just buzzed the tower on the baddest SOB in the NFL. He looks like you just spent two rounds with Mike Tyson. You know what, Playboy? Next time you're chucking a bottle in the club, get ready to take your beating. I hope Aaron Donald laughs his way and maybe sues this guy for whatever he's got, which probably ain't much. But this thing is totally erroneous, Carl. Read the police report. Some guy started something he couldn't finish with Aaron Donald.
If you want to know how strong this guy is, just go turn on the tape and look at him hold off two, in some cases, three 300-pound guys. Yes, he's been triple-teamed. And he beats it, Mike.
Right.
So what
well, remember Hard Knocks and he took his shirt off? He looked like Mr. Olympia. You want to mess with that?
What are you doing? Hey, man, he's done nothing. Who was it that used to say that phrase, Mike, do something? What was the Florida State coach? Who was that?
Well, it was short-lived, Carl.
Who was that?
Again, we're trying to put that memory. We're paying him not to be a coach at Florida State right now.
So
that was Willie Taggart. Do something.
Yes, yeah. Willie, thank you. Willie yes. Taggart coined that phrase, do something. Jadeveon Clowney, do something. Mm-hmm. You came into the league at 21. All the hype and pomp and circumstance. And what do? No sacks. Second year. 4.5. Hey, he's building. Third year, 6 sacks. And then your fourth year, 2017, 9.5. Oh, wow, he's going to be a double-digit sack guy, man. He's about to turn it on. Next year, 9-3-0 last year with Tennessee. Do something. He signs with Cleveland, guys, 1 year, $10 million. Here's my point. He's the most overhyped defensive player of the last decade. Outside of the hit at South Carolina, he hasn't done anything.
Mm.
Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
Your favorite sport was badminton as a child.
Grand Rising John Freaky. Grand Rising Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.